I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Happy New Year to you. In a few minutes, we start off the new year looking at how one couple has just celebrated 50 years together. They'll tell us how they did it and offer advice to newlyweds. But first, in our international briefing, we go, as we so often do, to Africa. 2008 saw momentous news out of Africa, in Kenya, Zimbabwe, South Africa, the Congo. Joining us now to review just a few of the most important stories are two of NPR's best. Charlene Hunter-Galt is joining us from Nature's Valley, South Africa. And Gwen Tompkins joins us from Nairobi, Kenya. Welcome to you both, ladies. Happy New Year.
Thank you. You too. Happy New Year, Michelle.
And Gwen, the year started in high drama with elections in Kenya, where you are based. Elections were held in December of 2007, but all did not go well. If you would just remind us briefly of what happened in the elections in Kenya and what's the status of the political settlement there now?
Well, what happened was that the incumbent, Mwai Kibaki, ran for a second term in office at the end of 2007. He was challenged by a fellow by the name of Raila Odinga, who represented an opposition party. The two men also came from separate ethnic tribes. And the election took place a couple days after Christmas. And very shortly after the last vote was cast, people realized that there was going to be trouble. And by the time the presidential election was called, that was on December 29th of last year, chaos, you know, was abroad in the land, essentially. Ethnic clashes reigned for almost 3 months here that brought in Kofi Annan and several other elders from the continent to try to sort the situation out. And in the end, it ended with a power-sharing agreement. And right now, Kenya has a coalition government. I would love to say that in the year that has transpired, that that coalition government has really gone out of its way to deal with the fundamental issues that got people hopping mad in the first place. You know, I mean, so many issues that had nothing to do with this election, but had so much to do with longstanding tensions between ethnic groups. You know, Kofi Annan and several commissioners who got together to investigate the tribal clashes made all sorts of recommendations to the coalition government to get its act together, you know, make a new constitution, do land reform. And I tell you, these leaders have been molasses slow.
Charlene, I'm going to go with you now. The story that I think still very much top of the news, Zimbabwe. A similar situation played out there where elections were held and the result was in dispute. If you just bring us up to date on what's happened in Zimbabwe.
Well, the opposition claimed it won and many of the observers agreed, but the current president, Robert Mugabe, didn't agree. And there have been efforts now to form a coalition government, but it hasn't really gone anywhere. And in the meantime, the country has plunged into darker and darker territory. There are over 1,000 deaths from cholera. There's, to an extent, ethnic tensions, but mostly it's the tensions between the opposition people who've been abducted and tortured, and no one knew where they were for weeks and weeks. Inflation is over 200 million. The country is just going straight down the tubes. And Mugabe is saying that the country is his. He's not ceding any of the key ministries. And so it remains to be seen what's going to happen there. Meanwhile, without a coalition government, the country just continues to descend into chaos and darkness.
In fact, let me play a recent clip of President Robert Mugabe addressing the delegates of the ruling party, the ZANU-PF, at their annual conference. Here it is.
I will never, 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 never surrender. Zimbabwe is mine.
Charlene, as we speak, are there any additional efforts being made by international institutions like the UN to achieve some progress here?
Well, recently, Jindai Fraser, Assistant Secretary of State for Africa, was here visiting regional leaders and trying to light a fire under them. And the Europeans have also called for Mugabe to step down. But in the end, it's going to be the Africans, the neighbors of Zimbabwe, including and especially South Africa, that will have to step up to the plate.
Gwen, another story that captured the headlines this year was the ongoing conflict in the Congo. I want to play a short clip of an interview you did with rebel leader Laurent Nkunda. Here it is.
I accept Congolese to suffer for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, but to be free forever. Freedom is not a gift. You have to suffer for it and fight for it. And we are ready to suffer. but to be free forever.
Now, Gwen, the UN's largest peacekeeping force, as I understand it, is located in the Congo, and yet the violence continues there. The same question I ask Charlene, is there any progress being made there in achieving peace and stability?
To be honest, no. What's happening is that there are negotiations that are scheduled to continue in Nairobi in the coming days between Laurent Nkunda's rebel group and the Congolese government. But so far, those negotiations, which were suspended for the holidays, they weren't really going anywhere. The tape that you played was Mr. Nkunda's response to a question from a reporter who was asking, given the nature of the pain and misery and the numbers of people, the 250,000 people who have been put on the road with their possessions on their heads because of this rebel advance, you know, is it worth it? And Mr. Nkunda gave the same answer that I'm sure Mr. Mugabe gave, you know, in your earlier clip, and has given many, and so many African leaders, unfortunately, give, even in Kenya, that ultimately their goal, whatever it might be, is far more important than the individual lives of the people who they claim to represent.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with NPR's Gwen Tompkins and Charlene Hunter-Galt for a year-end review of the most important news from Africa. Charlene, South Africa, where you're based, a key player in the continent, on the continent, and also in international affairs. South Africa's own domestic politics have been roiled this year. Would you tell us about that?
Well, it's been a watershed year for South Africa's young democracy that only came into being in 1994. And this, I think, is its most critical test. The ruling party fell out with the president. They said he was too remote. He wasn't serving the people. So he was ousted by the party. You know, the party actually runs in an election and it deploys the president, and by its own choice, and so it can redeploy him. So they asked him to step down. He stepped down. But as a result, there were many disaffected members in the party, and so they have split off from the ruling party. They've started a new party called COPE, and many people believe that this is a real turning point in the recent history of the new South Africa, because this new party has some of the top former ANC people. They are stressing inclusiveness. They're bringing, at their recent conference, they spoke in Afrikaans, they spoke in other languages. So they're going after a rainbow coalition. There were those, and I might say, who, even though they don't support the new party, believe that it was unconscionable the way they dismissed Mbeki with only 6 months to go in his second term. He has been a leader in the international community for Africa, but it was a humiliating moment for him. And so people are now just, some of them are waiting to see what happens with the new party. If it gains traction, they may join. But there are those who believe now that given the numbers they say they have, which is 400,000 paid-up members compared with 600,000 in the African National Congress, they could give this venerable old party a run for its money.
And I wanted to ask each of you, so many spectacular stories. And Gwen, in some ways, you've just been running from one hot spot to another. With all of that, though, are there stories that we've overlooked, important stories that we really haven't paid as much attention to because they've been overshadowed by these huge conflagrations, as it were?
Well, there's been a story that has been in the news, in and out of the news this past year, and now it really seems to be heating up. And this is a story about the Lord's Resistance Army, which, as you, I'm sure you know, I mean, has terrorized northern Uganda for more than 20 years. This is a group that's run by a self-proclaimed religious prophet called Joseph Kony, that has, over the past 20 years, stolen thousands of children and pressed them into work as soldiers, as child soldiers, also as porters, and, of course, as sex slaves. And the Lord's Resistance Army has been in peace negotiations with southern Sudan and Uganda and neighboring Congo that have led to a peace deal that Mr. Kony has refused to sign.
Charlene, your most recent book was New News Out of Africa, Uncovering Africa's Renaissance. So many of the stories that we covered out of Africa this year were grim. And Are there signs of this renaissance that you think we should take note of that perhaps have been overlooked in the midst of all these grim headlines?
Right now, there's an amazing story going on in Ghana, as there have been in other countries that have moved to democracy in peaceful ways. Botswana, for example, which is one of the models in the Southern African region. And now we have a hotly contested election in Ghana. And I mean, they've had to have a runoff of the runoff. And yet there has been no violence. But so far, Ghana has held up as the kind of model democracy in West Africa. So I think that we need to try and be balanced in our reporting of the continent, because there are some wonderful people doing wonderful things for themselves. And while there have been setbacks like Kenya and Zimbabwe, to be sure, and the Congo, there are people doing heroic things, and I think we need to focus more on some of them, not exclusively, but just so that we can have a balance to the way the continent is reported to the rest of the world.
NPR correspondents Charlene Hunter-Galt in Nature's Valley, South Africa, and Gwen Tompkins in Nairobi, Kenya. Ladies, thank you so much, and Happy New Year to you both.
Happy New Year to you, Michelle, and thank you for your work. Thank you.
Coming up, to Kwanzaa or not to Kwanzaa? One writer is asking that question.
You kind of forget about the fact that there are Kwanzaa principles outside of the 7 days that you are celebrating them.
Writer Aaron Evans asks, is the holiday passé? That's next on Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin.